Welcome to the Elevate podcast. My name is Sarah Hopkins.
And I'm Amanda Noga, and these are conversations to elevate your health, relationships, and soul.
Hey, it's Amanda. I'm quickly popping in to tell you about a special offer that you won't find anywhere else but here. So with the code ELEVATE, that's ELEVATE, simply pop that in to receive your first month off free in Paths to You. And once you're inside, there's a suggestion of exactly how to start your journey. Of course, you can also choose your own adventure, create your own pathway, maybe starting with Ayurveda and discovering your dosha, maybe moving through the Passion, Power, and Purpose workshops, which is all about living a more meaningful life. And you'll have unlimited support through all of the embodiment and yoga practices. One of the most beautiful things about Paths to You is that you'll receive access to our free and private membership area, which is where your like-minded, like-hearted crew are hanging out. And you'll also get access to my online class, which happens once a month, where you can ask me any questions that you might have about your practice, about health, and of course, soul alignment. So I hope you find this episode super elevating, and I'll see you in Paths to You.
So we have arrived at the final episode of season 3. My gosh, amazing. So, and I think that it's fitting that we're going to talk about something that is purpose. And I suppose to give that a definition, purpose for me, and I think probably also for you, but I'm sure we'll expand on it, is living a life with meaning. And this is something that so many people reach out to me and say, how do I find my purpose in life? How do I find my passion in life? So I think it's worth talking about, you know, our perspectives around this and some of the practices that we've cultivated and created over the years in our own lives and assisted other people with around purpose. So do you want to share how purpose has sort of woven its way through your life, Mandy?
Well, a few years ago now, I kind of blew up my life, as some people listening to this will know. I left a long-term relationship, I sold my yoga studio, got rid of my house, the whole shebang. And it was through doing that that I realized I was doing a lot of things because I thought I should do them. There was a lot of shoulds going on. You know, I'm a yoga teacher, I should have a yoga studio. That's a marker of some kind of success. So I did it and it was cool, and it was actually more than cool. It was beautiful. I loved it. But it got to the point where I was like, actually, this isn't my life. This is what I thought that I should do. So after pivoting out of all of those structures and commitments, I was really in a wide open void. I didn't have a backup plan. I didn't have any, even a forward going plan. I was really just in a wide open space, and I really, really wanted that. But I know that that's also something that scares a lot of people a lot, to be in the void. And you know, months went by, maybe even years went by, and eventually I dropped into something, a project that had sort of been brewing in the background for me for years. I've been traveling to India for 10 plus years every single year, and I've always wanted to do something to help. And I was never really clear about how that was going to play out. Maybe it was like going to be an environmental thing, maybe a thing around, you know, women's empowerment. But anyway, through this, I guess, process of creating all this wide open space in my life, in my schedule, but also in my heart and in my mind, I guess walked into a situation where I was met with something that felt really fulfilling and full of purpose for me, and that, you know, is to help girls in India receive education. And I've got a whole kind of project around that. But, you know, I want to kind of clarify that having purpose or living a life on purpose doesn't have to mean that you are necessarily going to save the girls in India or the starving children in Africa or something like that. It's really at its core about living with passion to kind of lean towards or follow your curiosity towards the things that light you up and that you feel passionate about. And in turn, that leads to a more meaningful life, a more fulfilled life. And I think at the real, real core of it, I do believe that we are here to serve. And all of us collectively, as souls, our real core purpose is to be of service. So that's kind of my way of understanding purpose and how it's played out for me. And I know looking back, like, I had a really beautiful life. On paper, everything looked great. On Instagram, everything looked great. But it really didn't feel fulfilling to me at the time, as, you know, great as it was. It was lacking something deeper for me. And once I fell into this work with the girls in India, that kind of spiraled out into lots of other avenues, not just the India project, but also the way that I'm now working with people and even in relationships. You know, passion and purpose has become like my kind of...
one of your niches.
Yeah, it's like one of my tools of navigating the world.
Yeah. I think I had a similar experience in terms of the pivot that I made in my life, which was fairly radical, and I've probably shared some of it on here before, but I was working in the corporate sector. I was definitely not liking my job. I was earning $140,000 a year, owned 2 properties, blah, 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 all the trappings. Well, enough trappings, lots of travel, etc., etc. And I accidentally fell into my career because I followed something that was passionate to me and started to learn about that passion, aka health coaching, just out of my own desire. And I followed my bliss in a way without really consciously knowing it. But, you know, by the time I got to the second sort of course within the curriculum that of holistic lifestyle coaching that I was studying, it was really obvious to me that I needed to move in the direction of what I was doing and move away from what was completely unsatisfying to me. And I remember the day that I started my business, I sat at my desk in my little office at my home and I cried for like hours and hours. I just was devastated and I was like, what have I done? I have left like all of these things, which some of my friends and family were like, you know, don't do this, it's so risky, and you know, you've got such a good life, just have that as your hobby, and all of these things, which are sensible things, but just, I just was like, no, I really feel something, I feel compelled to do this, and I feel, I don't know why, but I really do, I felt trust, I trusted my intuition at that time. But on that day, I had no trust and I literally just cried all day and just felt so alone and so full of fear. And, you know, my income was so low that year, but I was so ecstatic. And, you know, that maybe that happiness and that magnetism of my happiness and peace with being of service to others and also of having the freedom to do what I actually wanted to do on so many levels was magnetic. And obviously from there, you know, I've cultivated, like you, something that is way more meaningful and has morphed and changed into something I never would have dreamed that it would be.
So it's like at the beginning you get this spark of courage that kind of initiates all of the change to happen and to get the ball rolling. But then of course there's layers of fear and, yeah, I mean really it's all fear, layers and layers of that to go through as you move into the new phase. And I want to like really emphasize the fact I don't think everyone needs to like go and jump off the cliff and quit their corporate job. That's really not what it's about.
No, There's so many other ways, you know, that people can cultivate meaning in their lives, you know, that doesn't mean, and I think that's a good point. I mean, as we've both acknowledged, a lot of people are searching for meaning, and certainly one of the questions that both of us get asked most by prospective clients, people that come up after workshops, people on social media is either how do I find my passion or how do I start doing what you do, which I think is the same thing.
Yeah, you know? Because they're looking at that and going, oh, that looks fulfilling.
Yeah,
like Sarah looks like she's fulfilled and happy and living a meaningful life. I want some of that, even though that might not be exactly the right fit for them per se, but you're sort of
emulating,
becoming a symbol of what that life could look like.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, like you said, I think people are sometimes in the way that they're looking at it, what's my passion, they're not looking in an open-minded way, because they think, oh, it needs to be a career, it needs to be like, you know, health coaching is such a big one, so many people want to get into it, you know, but I don't think it is for everyone.
Same,
you know,
with yoga teaching.
And oh my god, yoga teaching is the perfect example of that, you know. But there's other ways that we can create more meaning in our lives.
I would say it's one of the most common questions that I get is, I don't know what my passion is. How do I find my passion? How do I discover my purpose? And when it comes like to the nitty-gritty of passion, I do think it's a lot about desire and being in touch with what your natural kind of curiosity and instinct is drawing you towards. You know, I think in our culture, especially for women, we have shut down our relationship to our healthy desire. And, you know, whether we're talking about like sexuality or we're talking about, you know, creative ventures or this whole topic about purpose, it's really the same energy. This energy of desire and curiosity is what we want to follow. It's like this little thread that we want to follow, and just to simply see where it goes. It's not about having this big bang passion that, you know, ignites your whole life and sets everything on fire. But I think, you know, it's actually a really, really important part of our overall well-being. And, you know, this is a beautiful teaching from Ayurveda that I love, and it's like the whole point of having your health is so that you can live your purpose, so you can live your dreams, and as we say in Sanskrit, your dharma. But, you know, it even goes back to, you know, in Japanese culture they have the ikigai, which is like this little diagram, and it's a combination of what you like, what you're good at, what people kind of ask of you, or what people thank you for, I think that might be one, and then something else that I can't remember. But basically the combination of those four elements is what's called your ikigai, which is your purpose. And it's in all of the longevity cultures. We've spoken about Blue Zones before on the podcast, and this is another one of the 9 pillars of longevity, is to live with purpose and feel as if you have a sense of purpose and reason to be here in the world, which we all do. If you are here on the planet, you have a reason to be here. And I think, you know, reaching externally for this idea of passion or purpose that, you know, we see emulated in musicians and artists and authors all over the place, of course that's not going to look like what everyone else's passion looks like. That's their thing. And another cool thing is like the doshas can actually help to lead us towards understanding what our unique purpose is and what our dharma is. But I think, you know, to simplify everything, like I said, it doesn't have to look like going and being a full-time musician or something like that. It's more about like who you are at your core is why you are here. And so living with purpose is actually just about living your full, authentic, true self. And that can be in a corporate setting. It can be, you know, working at a library or whatever, like whatever the thing might be, it doesn't have to be like this big grand gesture, like I said, going to save the children in Africa. It doesn't have to look like that.
One of the things that I often sort of, so one of the parts of my assessment process is understanding what lights people up. I mean, a part of the coaching process is finding the why, obviously, because you need that underlying motivation beyond I want to lose 10 kilos or I want to get rid of my endometriosis or I want to have a baby. Why though? You know, to drive that, you know. But beyond that, I like to inquire as to what it is that my clients love. And often I'll find that if people have a lot of health issues, and I ask them what they love, they can't think of anything. And I think that, again, like everything that we talk about, it's part of the health, it's part of our health, like you said. Our health is for, because it allows us to express, you know, our passion, right? And so people that are not expressing their passion are obviously or are oftentimes less healthy. So, and what I would, I guess my point with this is to say that what I would often ask them to tell me or sort of help them to explore, regardless of what they're doing, if they're in a job that they hate or whatever, is just like, what are the things that you love to do? And they might be like, oh, I used to paint all the time, you know, in the evenings, and now I got so busy with my family, looking after them. Obviously, that's a very common sort of phenomenon, and I've stopped doing that and I love it. And so sometimes my advice for them is literally like, you need to get the canvas out, get your whatever that painting thing is called.
The easel.
The easel, yeah, but what's the painting frame thing that you put the canvas on? Anyway, that
the
thing.
The easel.
Oh, right, okay. I thought the easel was like that little wooden thing that you go like that, like a French painter. Oh, but anyway, get the easel out, get the canvas out, and put some music on, and even if it's an hour a week that you find that time to, and that's, you know, sort of tying back in, and maybe that would be even more sort of cultivating and appropriate for a Vata dosha, because that's the creative dosha, I don't know, but you know, most people have one thing that they can tell you that either did or does really light them up.
Most people have an example from their childhood of something that they loved to do when they were a kid and they just kind of forgot about it.
You know, I did this just the other day because I realized, and this is going to inform some of the things that I will do in my own life moving forward. I realized that I loved dancing and I wasn't really very good at it because I'm a bit unco and I'm not a good dancer, and basically,
but it lights you up.
It lights me up, and some of the best times that I have are dancing, and obviously, you know, just a bit of dancing on the dance floor is not extraordinary. But when I was a child, and even into my adolescence, I was going to dancing school, and I was 1,000,000% the most unco kid there. But you know, it doesn't matter because that's something that sparks joy. So
totally.
That is something that I need to do more of because
yes.
It doesn't matter. That's not going to...
That's a really good example.
Because I'm not going to have a career as a dancer. Like, there's no human on the earth that would give me a gold star for my dancing.
But it's about leaning into your passion. And then that fuels also, you know, that kind of creative, joyful energy that you cultivate when you're dancing. That flows out into all the other stuff that you do.
Exactly. But I think where people fall over is they say, I love dancing. Maybe I should be a dancing
That's
instructor.
Me. Or I will do whatever. I'll go to the ballet and suddenly come out and be like, I have to become a ballerina. I loved that. I'm going to be a ballerina.
Well, you probably could be a ballerina
no,
because you're a yogi,
not.
So you're way more flexible.
No, but I would do it to anything.
So I guess my point with that is, and you know, sort of articulated that beautifully, is like lean into something for the sake of leaning into it because it brings you joy. Forget about whether it's going to be your career or you're going to turn that into whatever this thing is that I feel a lot of people have right now. Just... focus, take it back. What do you love? What brings you joy?
Don't quit your day job.
No.
I mean, to be honest, I say that to a lot of people because a lot of people message me about yoga teacher training, whether they should do it, etc., etc. And so much of my advice is don't quit your day job and go to as many yoga retreats or classes as you can before you become a teacher or you do the teacher training, because you will never experience it in the same way once you've learned the nuts and bolts. It's like if you were learning to become a chef, you never eat a meal in the same way, you know, like my sister's a chef. She deconstructs every single meal, like, you know, going through all the different elements. She never just, well, she does enjoy food, but you know, that's beside the point. My advice is really like, just do it because you love it. And as soon as you turn something into your job, when you turn your passion into your sole or primary income, it does change the dynamic for sure. And I think that's, yeah, again, something that people kind of get a little bit tricked on, that their passion has to become their sole income.
It's interesting because I've referenced this in another podcast, but I didn't name him, but I'm going to because it's relevant. So it was one of the seminars I went to was a Demartini, and one of his sort of core philosophies is you have to do what you love. Like, it has to be your career. It's not like a do it, fill up the outsides of your job, like your hobbies, with the things you love and then just go to your soul-destroying job. No. And I pulled him up on this because I said, he was giving examples of people that, like this outdoor adventurer guy that loved doing some obscure thing and then managed to turn it into like outdoor adventure tours and sort of all of these things. And I actually said, put my little hand up and said, excuse me, Mr. DeMartini or Dr. DeMartini. Okay, my partner is a construction worker. He has sort of worked up the ladder already in the sort of couple of years he's been doing it, and I have no doubt he's going to keep working up it, and he likes it. He loves trucks and loves all of that stuff. He's a real lad. But his biggest passion in life is fishing. I don't think, I could be wrong, Mr. DeMartini, but I don't think he's going to make a career out of fishing.
Or should.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, you know, I had this guy come to my seminar and he loved fishing and he decided to go, and he made some bloody story about the fishing thing. And he was, and I guess for me, that just felt a little bit contrived. That's a criticism of that. He's an amazing, amazing human and has helped millions of people, and I love him. But I'm with you. I don't think that what you love has to be a source of income for you. And I think that thinking that it does,
it limits,
is blocking
it.
You.
Yeah, it limits it for sure. And it places too many expectations on the thing that you love. It's like the same as what we were talking about in relationships a couple of weeks ago. Placing all of the expectations and expecting your passion to be your income, your, you know, thing that lights you up, your service, you know, all wearing all of these hats is your purpose or your passion. It's too much expectation. It's too much load for one little aspect of your life to bear.
And the other thing is, I think that it can change and morph.
Oh, totally.
You know, like obviously I love health and I'm passionate about health and helping others, but as I've evolved as a health coach, I have gotten so much more sort of into so many sort of different aspects, maybe more of the spiritual side of things and the coaching and human psychology side of things, and that's way more compelling to me now, whereas at first I was obsessed with food and diet and nutrition and gut health. You know, if I had sort of pigeonholed myself and said that's my capacity, that's all that I can be and love, I wouldn't be doing what I was doing now, because I would have gone, I don't like this anymore. I've had to move with what is compelling to me, even in my career, to keep being passionate.
Yeah, and to keep showing up as what is true and authentic for you at this time.
100%. And people are attracted to the passion.
Yes. So big time. That's why we love particular music. It's not because one musician is actually better than another. We feel their passion. There's a transmission of their soul's purpose through the music that we, you know, that we love and that become cult hits, like, I don't know, Coldplay or something like that, you know, just something that's like a phenomenon. There's something in that music that is so pure because it's like, it's almost channeled.
It's channeled, yeah. It's,
and that's his channeled purpose. I'm sure there's lots of other musicians that are just, you know, as accomplished, have a record deal, blah, 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 but they're never going to have a Coldplay song, you know?
Yeah.
And I think another thing to really hone in on is that living a meaningful life is different for everybody.
100%.
And it, like you said, it's going to shift and change as we move through the different stages of our life. And I think what makes us feel fulfilled and that we are living on purpose is that we are constantly, not constantly, but, you know, inquiring into ourselves, does this have meaning to me? There's kind of like an understanding in yoga that life itself has no meaning. We as the humans, as the souls, we bring meaning to life through our actions, through our choices, through our relationships. That is what makes a meaningful life. It's the way that we, you know, choose to navigate this world. And that's going to look different for all of us. So I think something that's really important is just to look in. Okay, so this is something, this kind of like leads me into what is the big fear, the core fear around finding purpose. Most people are getting stuck or unable to, quote unquote, discover their purpose. I don't really love that phrase because it's not something that you need to discover. It's not something outside of yourself. It's something that's already within you. And in order to maybe uncover is a better word, in order to tap into that purposeful feeling that's already inside of you, like I said, you already have a reason for being here just because you are alive. But what's getting in the way of tapping into that is, again, glorification of busy. And I really, really feel strongly that being okay in the void, like I was saying at the very beginning of this podcast, I created in my life this massive void by clearing out all of the structures. I'm not saying that has to happen, but there does have to be mini voids, whether it's on a yearly basis, monthly basis, daily basis, ideally with, you know, a stillness practice, where you are in some open space in your mind and there is nothing to do except be, just to be still. And it's in that being, it's in that stillness that your unique purpose naturally bubbles up from inside of you and you feel it. There's no denying it. There's no confusion, there's no doubt. It's just something that naturally comes up, if you can imagine like a little flower like growing up out of the earth. It naturally rises and blooms into its fullness without you having to do anything at all, really, except for just be still and be okay in the void. Be okay with creating some open space, some empty space for that purpose to come up. If we're constantly imposing all this stuff, all this busyness into our life, of course it's going to be very difficult to tap into that knowing of what's going to create more meaning and more purpose for our life.
Definitely. I love it. So we're probably coming up to time, so shall we slide into recommendations? So I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think the recommendation I'm going to give today, which is a bit unusual for me, is a practical one. So, and it's sort of, I've already touched on it, but it's really about maybe journaling and spending, it's probably to spend some time in stillness, which my preference for stillness is meditation. And they do say that, you know, creativity is born out of boredom. So if you're not even meditating it, but if you just, if we are filling the space with, you know, scrolling social media, which we are often doing, there is absolutely no space for our creativity. So creating, like Commander suggested, the wide open space, the stillness practice, and just journaling some of the things that brought you joy as a child, and even perhaps some I am statements around I have perhaps a meaningful life. I am fulfilled. I am fulfilled. Just some subconscious triggers that you can read daily that will, I am passionate about whatever might come
or
up for you.
I am passionate, full stop.
Or I am passionate, exactly.
You can be passionate about anything. People are passionate about food. People are passionate about model planes. People are passionate about guitar.
Exactly.
Like, the thing is irrelevant.
It is,
it's
totally irrelevant. Exactly. So, exactly. But some present tense, positive I am affirmation statements that help to sort of entrain the subconscious mind to help you to cultivate some awareness around what that passion might be.
Nice.
And to not worry about the career or any of those things. Just do it as
and what it looks like.
Exactly. Just do it as a, and actually one more thing, do it as an a self-exploration and lean in. Again, something we said at the beginning, both of us, lean into the things that feel good. I just listened to a podcast, and it's not relevant, so we won't link to it in the show notes, but one of the co-hosts said, love what loves you back. So do things that feel good, and the more that you do those things, which is really the law of attraction in a way, the more that you will create and manifest more of that. And that is ultimately passion,
because you start to understand what that feels like for you. Like, I'm sure we are quite similar. After I finish a one-on-one session with a client, I am so jazzed up.
I'm like I've had 50 coffees.
Yeah. Yes. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
And just being in touch with that feeling helps it come into other aspects of life as well. It's
yes.
like a muscle.
And it's also, it's like a magnet. It creates magnetism. So it will attract in more things that bring you and spark joy.
Mm-hmm. So puts you in that vibrational alignment.
Exactly. So what's your recommendation?
I'm going to direct people to check out my project, Karma Collab, which is a project I started a few years ago in support of girls' education in India. And really, it's about empowering women everywhere. So there's cool resources in there, there's ways to donate, but maybe more like impactfully, there's a ambassador program that we just launched this year, and we're doing an insight tour to India to the school in October. And I feel like that's a really cool way for people to turn their like maybe anger or heartache into action. So yeah, Karma Collab, we'll link it in the show notes.
And that is a wrap. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Elevate. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed recording it. For any further updates with me, you can come along and follow me at Instagram. I'm at Shopkins Health.
And if you'd like to stay tuned with me throughout the week, I'm at yoga_alchemy on Instagram. And what we would love right now is if you can hit subscribe, leave us some stars, leave us a few words, any questions or feedback, we love to read. So keep it coming and have an amazing day.
Hey, it's Amanda. I'm quickly popping in to tell you about a special offer that you won't find anywhere else but here. So with the code ELEVATE, that's ELEVATE, simply pop that in to receive your first month off free in Paths to You. And once you're inside, there's a suggestion of exactly how to start your journey. Of course, you can also choose your own adventure, create your own pathway, maybe starting with Ayurveda and discovering your dosha, maybe moving through the passion, power, and purpose workshops, which is all about living a more meaningful life. And you'll have unlimited support through all of the embodiment and yoga practices. One of the most beautiful things about Paths to You is that you'll receive access to our free and private membership area, which is where your like-minded, like-hearted crew are hanging out. And you'll also get access to my online class, which happens once a month, where you can ask me any questions that you might have about your practice, about health, and of course, soul alignment. So I hope you find this episode super elevating, and I'll see you in Paths to You.